Best MTG Commander Precon Dex, rank 2026. Robert here, pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. A Commander EDH Precon is a sealed, ready-to-play 100-card deck built around a legendary creature you put in the command zone. You open the box, shuffle, and play, no deck building required. They're the best on-ramp to Commander because every card is legal, the mana base works, and a fresh Precon plays cleanly against another fresh Precon, bracket 2 in Wizards' new power system. Best for total beginners is Necron Dynasties, Warhammer 40,000, Shaiic, Mono Black, Forgiving, and it teaches the format gently. Puzzlewick sells none of these, every link points to the makers and retailers. Buy where you like. I've been buying Commander Precons for almost as long as they've existed, and I'll tell you straight, none of them have ever disappointed me as badly as the ones that looked perfect on the shelf. You open the box, you see the foil commander, you read the checklist, and your hand just knows this is the one. Then you shuffle and play, and it's like someone built the deck in three different directions at once, a little tribal, a little ramp, a little graveyard, and none of it wants asterisk to work together. That's the gap I'm here to bridge. Some precons are genuinely brilliant. A tight game plan, reprints worth more than the box, a skeleton that rewards $30 of upgrades. Others are beautiful pieces that taught me over years what sounds good on paper actually means. The job of this guide is to separate those two groups honestly asterisk, not as a retailer, but as someone who's carried these decks through game nights and knows which ones I'd reach for again. A word on what Puzzlewick is. We don't carry these. We don't take a markup. We don't get a kickback. Every buy link points straight to the makers and retailers, Wizards, TCG Player, Card Kingdom, because the only thing worth anything here is a straight read. If a beloved deck is overrated, I'll say it. If a lesser-known one overdelivers for the money, that's the one I'll put in your hands. I'm not selling you anything but my 23 years of opening boxes. And one thing that matters more in 2026 than it ever did. Magic has an official bracket system now, 1 through 5 for power level, and a sealed precon is asterisk, literally the definition of bracket 2. Every deck I'm ranking lives there out of the wrapper. That's your anchor. Know your bracket before you shuffle, know what everyone else brought, and the difference between a great game and a mismatched night evaporates. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What exactly is a Commander Precon, and why is it the best way into the format? Commander, also called EDH, for Elder Dragon Highlander, the format's ancestral name, is Magic's multiplayer format. You build a 100-card singleton deck, one copy of every card except basic lands, around a single legendary creature, your commander, which lives in a special zone and can be cast again and again. Games are usually four players, each starting at 40 life, and they sprawl, politics, big creatures, comeback turns, the works. It is, by a wide margin, the most played way people actually sit down and enjoy Magic. A pre-constructed deck, pre-con, is Wizards of the Coast's answer to the format's one real barrier, building the thing. Each pre-con is a sealed product containing a complete, legal, ready-to-play 100-card deck, a foil commander, sometimes a few extras, life tracker, tokens, a deck box, and crucially, a mana base that already works. You don't pick the lands. You don't tune the curve. You open it, you shuffle, you play. That is the entire pitch, and it's a good one. Why is this the best on ramp? Three reasons. First, legality and completeness. Every card is commander legal, and the deck is whole. There's no you still need to buy 30 more cards asterisk. Second, balance against peers. A sealed precon is tuned to play against another sealed precon. Nobody at a precon vs precon table is dropping a turn 3 game ender. Third and most underrated, it teaches you the format by playing it. You learn how your commander's engine works, what ramp and card advantage feel like, when to hold up a removal spell, all by doing, not by reading a 2,000-word primer. The modern precon also reprints real value. A single deck routinely contains a Soul Ring, the most iconic accelerant in the format, an Arcane Signet, Swiftfoot Boots, and a fistful of staples that would cost you a chunk to buy as singles. For a beginner, that means the box is worth more than the box. For an enfranchised player, it means a precon is a cheap shell to cannibalize or keep intact as a pick-up-and-play deck for game night. The honest caveat, precons are intentionally not maximized. They run a few too many situational cards, a couple of pet themes that don't quite gel, and a commander that's usually a 7 out of 10 rather than a 10. That's by design. They're meant to be a starting line, not a finish line. The good ones make that starting line feel like a complete experience anyway. The great ones make you itch to upgrade. We're about to rank both kinds. By 2, not 1, the fastest path into commander is to grab 2 precons and play them head-to-head with a friend. 2 fresh precons are beautifully matched, and you'll learn the format twice as fast watching 2 different engines try to outgrind each other. EDH and Commander are the same thing. You'll see both names everywhere. Commander is the official Wizards name. EDH, Elder Dragon Highlander, is the older community term that's stuck. REDH and R Magic TCG use them interchangeably. Don't let it confuse you. Which precon should a total beginner actually buy first? If you've never built a deck and you want one box that won't punish you, my answer is Necron Dynasties, the mono black Warhammer 40,000 deck helmed by Shayek, the Silent King. EDHIC named it the best precon of its entire release year, and the reason is exactly what a beginner needs. It does one clear thing, artifacts and graveyard recursion, in a single color, and it does it forgivingly. Monocolor means your mana never lets you down, no agonizing over whether you can cast a 3-color spell on turn 3. The deck grinds value, brings things back from the graveyard, and wins slowly enough that you have time to learn what your cards do. It plays well straight out of the box and is famously easy to upgrade later. It's the deck I hand to people who say, I don't know how to play and I don't want to feel stupid. If 40k isn't your flavor, 2 more beginner-friendly picks. Elven Empire, Kaldheim, Lathral, Blade of the Elves is another monocolor winner. Green Elf Tribal, Dirt Cheap, and EDHIC's pick for the most consistent precon of its year. Tribal decks are wonderful for beginners because the synergy is obvious. You play elves, your elves get better, you swing. There's no hidden engine to decode. And if you want a Universes Beyond face you recognize, the Doctor Who deck Timey-Wimey, the 10th Doctor and Rose Tyler, is a genuinely loved product, though I'll flag honestly that it's been called one of the most asterisk complex asterisk precons ever made, so it's beginner-friendly in theme, but not in mechanics. Save it for your second deck. Here's the candid part. The single most beginner-coded products Wizards makes are the starter commander decks and small welcome-style decks. Cheaper, simpler, deliberately stripped down. They're fine, and if a child or a true first-timer is at the table, they're the gentlest possible introduction. But for most adults who already know roughly how Magic works and just haven't played Commander, a full monocolor precon like Necron Dynasties hits the sweet spot. Complete enough to be satisfying, simple enough to not overwhelm. A starter deck can feel thin once the training wheels are obviously training wheels. What I'd steer a beginner asterisk away from, the precon bloat decks. Jeskai Striker, Tarkia, Dragonstorm, Shiko and Narset tries to be big spells, token aggro, and storm all at once and lands none of them. Draftsim ranked it dead last of 2025's 13 decks. A new player can't tell a focused deck from an unfocused one yet, and an unfocused deck plays like mush. Start monocolor, start focused, start with a clear win condition you can see coming. You can chase complexity once the basics are muscle memory. Monocolor is a feature, not a limitation for your first deck. One color removes the single biggest beginner stumble, mana that doesn't cooperate. Necron Dynasties, black, and Elven Empire, green, never strand you with the wrong lands. You'll graduate to 2 and 3 colors fast enough. Skip the starter decks. If you're an adult who's played Magic, the dedicated starter commander decks are great for kids and absolute first-timers, but for a grown player who already knows the rules, a full monocolor precon is more satisfying and barely harder. Don't underbuy your own first experience. What's the best precon for a powerful, competitive-leaning table? Let's set expectations. No precon is CEDH, bracket 5, and none should be. But some precons punch noticeably above their sealed weight and reward a more experienced pod that wants a real fight without anyone dropping a turn 4 combo kill. My top pick here is Counter Blitz, the Final Fantasy X deck led by Tidus, Yuna's Guardian, with Yuna, Grand Summoner, as the secondary commander, in Bant colors, green-white-blue. Both Draftsum and EDHIC put it at or near the very top of 2025. and the reason is rare. It's novel and strong out of the box. Tidus moves +1/+1 counters around, a design space magic has barely explored, and the deck backs that up with serious reprints. Jaya Sage, Walking Ballista. Fathom Mage, it does one thing with conviction, and it does it hard. At a stronger table, Counter Blitz holds its own with minimal help, a few more that overdeliver. Eldrazi Unbound, Commander Masters, Zhulodok, Void Gorger, is, frankly, the closest a precon gets to feeling unfair, colorless Eldrazi with so much ramp that the late game is a foregone conclusion. Zhulodok gives your big spells double cascade, and the curve tops out in the stratosphere. Counter Intelligence, Edge of Eternities, Kilo, Apogee Mind, Bant Again, is a tight, modern build that EDHAC praised for clean charge counter and artifact synergy, plus genuinely good fixing lands. An Endless Punishment, Duskmourn, Valgavoth, Harrow of Souls, Rakdos, is a mean group slug deck that drains the whole table, exactly the kind of inevitability a competitive-ish pod respects. The honest framing every strong table needs. Brackets. Wizards' official system runs 1 exhibition to 5 CEDH, and a sealed precon is, by definition, bracket 2, core. The moment you start adding power, you climb. Slot in a couple of the 40 game changes, the cards Wizards flags as warping games, and you're knocking on bracket 3. There's nothing wrong with that, bracket 3 is where most engaged commander lives, but you have to asterisk say so at the table. A pumped counter blitz against 3 fresh precons isn't a fair game, it's a beating. Match brackets, then play. What I won't pretend, if your group genuinely wants competitive, fast, combo-forward magic, no out-of-box precon is your answer. You want a purpose-built bracket 4 or CEDH list. Precons are the wrong tool for that job. But for the much more common, we're experienced, and we want a asterisk real asterisk game, not a baby game. Counter Blitz, Eldrazi Unbound, and Endless Punishment are the precons that bring a knife to the table instead of a spoon. Shaik, the Silent King, Face Commander of Necron Dynasties, Warhammer 40,000 Commander, Eldrazi Unbound is the most overpowering precon Wizards has printed colorless ramp into enormous Eldrazi with double cascade off Zhulodok. The late game is decided before opponents stabilize. It's barely fair against other precons. Glorious, but warn your table. Name your bracket before shuffling a fresh precon is bracket 2. Add even 2 game changes and you're at bracket 3, a different game. The 32nd, what bracket are we playing? Chat prevents 90 of bad commander knights. What's the best value and the best base to upgrade? These two questions travel together, because the best value precon and the best upgrade shell are often the same box. A strong skeleton that's also cheap. Let me split them anyway. Best raw value goes to the Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth commander decks. For what's inside, strong reprints, beautiful Middle-earth treatments, 10 double-faced tokens, 4 complete decks across the set. The floor is exceptional. Riders of Rohan, Jeskai Humans, with Eowyn, Shield Maiden and an alternate Aragorn, King of Gondor, and Elven Council, Simic Voting Scry with Galadriel, are the 2 I'd grab first. If you only care about dollars to cardboard, watch Lord of the Rings prices and pounce when one dips. Best upgrade base is a different calculus. You want a deck whose core engine is excellent and whose weak slots are obvious, so a small budget transforms it. 3 stand out. Counter Blitz doubles as the best upgrade base in the format right now. The engine's already strong, so every dollar compounds. The upgrade math is the real story for value hunters. A precon gives you tilde 95 perfectly good cards and maybe 5 you'd swap. That's the precon's secret superpower. It's not just a finished product, it's the cheapest possible frame for a finished product. One candid value warning. Value on the secondary market is a moving target. Prices swing with reprints, hype, and supply. A deck that's a steal this month can creep back up next month. Check TCG Player or Card Kingdom the day you buy. Buy the box, follow one guide, and you've got a genuinely sharp bracket 3 deck for less than half the cost of building from zero. Lord of the Rings prices wander, set an alert, because Wizards overprinted Tales of Middle-earth. The commander decks periodically appear at mysteriously good prices. How do you actually upgrade a pre-con without overthinking it? Upgrading a pre-con is the most fun you'll have for the least money in this hobby, and it's where I bought a deck becomes I built a deck. The mistake beginners make is trying to rebuild everything at once. Don't. A pre-con is tilde 95 right already. Your job is to find the 5 to 10 cards dragging it down and the 5 to 10 that would lift it, then make a few clean swaps. Here's the order I'd do it in. Step 1. Cut the chaff. Every precon includes a handful of cards that are there for flavor or to pad a secondary theme the deck can't really support. The do-nothing enchantments, the overcosted situational creatures, the third half-finished sub-theme. Pull those first. You'll usually find 6 to 8 obvious cuts just by asking, when did this card ever matter? Step 2. Tighten the mana. This is the single highest impact, least glamorous upgrade. Precon mana bases are functional but conservative. They lean on tapped lands and basics. Swapping in a few untapped jewels, a couple of good fixing lands, and an extra ramp piece or two, the deck already came with Sol Ring and an Arcane Signet. Add a Cultivate or a Signet for your colors, smooths every game you'll ever play with the deck. Mana fixes win more games than splashy bombs. Step 3. Sharpen the win condition and the interaction. Now add the exciting cards, but pointed at what the deck actually asterisk does. If it's a counters deck like Counter Blitz, you add more counter payoffs, not random good stuff. If it's a lands deck like World Shaper, you add land recursion and a payoff like a big landfall finisher. And spend a few slots on interaction, cheap removal, swords to plowshares, beast within, a counterspell or two if you're in blue, and at least one board wipe. Precons chronically underrun interaction, fixing that alone bumps your win rate. Follow 1, resist the urge to gold plate, and you'll have a bracket 3 deck that feels custom. Cut, fix the mana, sharpen the plan, add interaction. Stop, that's the entire art. The 10th Doctor, face commander of the timey-wimey deck, Doctor Who Commander, mana before bombs the least exciting upgrade, is the most impactful. Swap a few tapped lands for untapped fixing, and add 1 ramp piece. Smooth mana wins more games than another 7-drop. Do this before you buy anything flashy. Don't cut the Sol Ring whatever you do. The Sol Ring, Arcane Signet, and Swiftfoot Lightning Greaves your precon shipped with are staples for a reason, they stay. Build your upgrades around them, not over them. Precon power levels, what are brackets, and how do you avoid a mismatched game? The most important thing to understand about precons in 2026 isn't any single deck. It's the bracket system, Wizard's official answer to the format's oldest problem. How strong is your deck, really? For years, that conversation was a vibe-based, rule-zero, chat before each game, and it worked about as often as it didn't. Now there's a shared scale, and it makes precon play dramatically smoother. There are 5 brackets. Bracket 1, Exhibition, is ultra-casual theme decks that aren't really trying to win, no game changes, no 2-card combos, no extra turn chains. Bracket 2, Core, is defined, in Wizard's own words, as the power of the average current pre-constructed deck. Strong engines, splashy turns, but still approachable. Same restrictions as Bracket 1 on combos and game changes. Bracket 3, Upgraded, is stronger than a pre-con, with up to 3 of the 40 game changes allowed and carefully chosen cards. This is where most engaged Commander players actually live. Bracket 4, Optimized, is go wild, no restrictions beyond the ban list. Bracket 5, CDH, is competitive metagame tournament magic. For precon players, the headline is simple. A sealed precon, unmodified, is bracket 2. That's your anchor. Buy a precon, play it as is, and you belong at any bracket 2 table. And a 4-way game of fresh precons is one of the purest, most balanced experiences magic offers. Everyone's at roughly the same power. The games go the expected 8+ turns before someone closes, and nobody feels cheated. The nuance, and this is recent and important, is that precon no longer automatically means bracket 2 the instant you touch it. A modern Horizons 3 commander deck or a Secret Lair commander deck is a different animal from a starter deck. Some precons run asterisk hotter than the bracket 2 baseline out of the box. Eldrazi Unbound, I'm looking at you, and any precon you upgrade climbs toward 3. So the bracket is a starting read, not a permanent label. Use it as a conversation opener, not a lore. And Rule 0 still rides shotgun. The bracket system doesn't replace the pre-game chat, it gives it vocabulary. Before you shuffle, the whole table says a number and flags anything spicy. Mine's a 2, but heads up, it can go off if I draw the nut. 30 seconds. That one habit prevents the great majority of bad commander knights, the new player getting steamrolled, the optimized deck sandbagging into a casual pod. One detail that trips people up: Sol Ring is in every pre-con, but it's not a game changer. Wizards exempted it as the most iconic card in all of Commander, a universal expectation. So your pre-con's Sol Ring doesn't push you up a bracket. Almost everything else that warps a game does. Know the difference, say your number, play your game. Lathril, Blade of the Elves, Face Commander of Elven Empire, Kaldheim Commander, Sol Ring is exempt. On purpose, Sol Ring meets every fast mana criterion for the game changers list, but Wizards left it off because it ships in nearly every pre-con and is a universal Commander expectation. Your pre-con's Sol Ring does not raise your bracket. The 30-second bracket chat is the real meta. REDH will tell you the same thing 1,000 times. The single best upgrade to your Commander experience isn't a card. It's saying your bracket out loud before the game and flagging anything spicy. Free, instant, prevents the bad nights. Where should you buy pre-cons, and are the universes beyond ones legal and worth it? Two practical questions to close on: where to get these, and whether the crossover decks, Final Fantasy, Lord of the Rings, Fallout, Doctor Who, Warhammer 40,000, are real magic you can play anywhere. On legality, here's the clean answer. Yes, universes beyond cards are fully Commander legal, full stop. As of 2025, Wizards align the universes so that universes beyond asterisk booster sets are legal in every constructed format. The Final Fantasy main set became standard legal on June 13, 2025, the first to do so. For Commander specifically, the crossover precons have always been legal in Commander. That's the format they're built for. So a Tidus deck, a Galadriel deck, a Doctor Madison Lee deck, a Shaek deck, all 100 tournament legal Commander. Nobody can wave you off a table because your Commander is from Final Fantasy. The only wrinkle worth knowing is that special product cards are legal in the formats they're intended for, but for Commander, every one of these precons qualifies. Are they worth it? Mostly, emphatically, yes, and sometimes they're the best decks of their year. Counter Blitz, Final Fantasy, and Limit Break, Final Fantasy VII, Cloud X Soldier, the Nea Voltron deck EDHAC crowned 2025's best, are top tier by any measure. Necron Dynasties and the Doctor Who decks are beloved. The Doctor Who set in particular overdelivers on asterisk content, extra planechase planes, multiple decks worth of replay value per box. The one I'd temper expectations on is Fallout Science. Jeskai, Doctor Madison Lee, the Energy Artifacts deck. It's a flavor home run and it single-handedly revived the energy archetype, but reviewers, EDHAC included, found Lee a touch underpowered for what the deck wants. About a third of the deck is artifacts, and it's still not quite enough to reliably fuel her. Great theme, needs an upgrade pass to reach its ceiling. That's the honest read. On where to buy, you have good options and Puzzlewick profits from none of them. Wizards own product pages and major dedicated retailers, TCG Player and Card Kingdom Chief among them, are the reliable, fairly priced sources, and both publish those superb free upgrade guides as a bonus. Your local game store is worth a premium for the same reason a good bar is. It's where you'll find the four people to actually play with, and supporting it keeps Commander Night alive in your town. The big box and online marketplaces, Amazon and the like, will have everything too, often cheapest on the popular sets, occasionally gouging on the scarce ones. My buying rule, plainly, decide on the deck first using this guide. Then price check it across TCG Player, Card Kingdom, and your LGS the day you buy. Because pre-con prices move week to week, buy from whoever's fair that day, and if your local store is close on price, pay the couple extra dollars and buy it there. That's not me upselling you. Puzzlewick doesn't sell anything. It's just where the games are. Fallout Science is a flavor win and a power compromise. Dr. Madison Lee revived energy in Commander single-handedly, and the deck is gorgeous, but reviewers agree she's slightly undertuned for what the deck wants. Buy it for the theme and the archetype, then plan a quick upgrade. Don't expect a top-tier deck out of the wrapper. Price check three places, then favor your LGS TCG Player, Card Kingdom, and your local game store the same day. Prices move weekly. If the LGS is within a couple dollars, buy there. It's where you'll find your playgroup, which is worth more than the discount. Final verdict. If you take one thing from this guide, take this. A good Commander pre-con is the best value in all of Magic. and Puzzlewick makes nothing whichever one you choose. Best overall is Counter Blitz, Final Fantasy X, Tidus / Yuna, novel strong out of the box, and the finest upgrade base on the market. If you buy a single deck in 2026, buy that. Best for a true beginner is Necron Dynasties, Mono Black Shaek, for giving mana a clear plan, and it teaches you the format by playing it. And the one to upgrade is World Shaper, whose lands engine turns into a sharp bracket 3 deck for $30. The decks I'd temper, Fallout Science, gorgeous theme, slightly undertuned commander and Jeskai Striker, too many themes, none supported, buy with eyes open. Whatever you pick, say your bracket before you shuffle, buy from whoever's fair that day, and favor your local store if it's close. We don't sell these. We just want you across the table from three friends with a deck that earns its shelf. Frequently asked questions. What is a commander pre-con? A commander pre-constructed deck is a sealed, ready-to-play 100-card magic deck built around a legendary commander creature. You open the box, shuffle and play, no deck building required. Every card is commander legal, the mana base already works, and it usually includes a foil commander plus extras like tokens and a deck box. Are pre-cons good for beginners? Yes, they're the single best way to start commander. A pre-con removes the format's only real barrier, building a 100-card deck, and lets you learn by playing. Monocolor pre-cons like Necron Dynasties, Black, or Elven Empire Green are the most forgiving because the mana never betrays you and the game plan is easy to read. Which pre-con should I buy first? For a true beginner, buy Necron Dynasties, Mono Black Warhammer 40,000, or Elven Empire Mono Green Elves. Both are forgiving, consistent, and EDHIC praised. If you want the best overall deck and don't mind three colors, buy Counter Blitz, Final Fantasy. Better yet, buy two pre-cons and play them head-to-head. Can you play a pre-con straight out of the box? Absolutely, that's the entire point. A sealed pre-con is a complete, legal, balanced 100-card deck. It's designed to play well against other pre-cons right out of the wrapper, and it sits at bracket 2, core, on Wizard's official power scale, which is a great match for casual tables. Do pre-cons need upgrades? No, but they reward them. A pre-con is roughly 95% optimized already. You can play it forever as is. If you want more power, swap the 5 to 10 weakest cards. Tighten the mana, add interaction, and sharpen the win condition. What's the best value pre-con? The Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth decks, like Riders of Rohan and Elven Council, are the best value, because Wizards printed them heavily and they frequently slide to excellent secondary market prices. Elven Empire is the cheapest, genuinely good pre-con. For value plus upgradability, World Shaper and Counter Blitz lead. Are Universes Beyond pre-cons good and legal? Both. Universes Beyond pre-cons, Final Fantasy, Lord of the Rings, Fallout, Doctor Who, Warhammer 40,000, are 100 commander legal. That's the format they're built for. And as of 2025, UB booster sets are legal in all constructed formats too. Many are top tier. Counter Blitz and Limit Break, Final Fantasy, were the best decks of 2025. How much do pre-cons cost? Always price check the day you buy. How many players is Commander? Commander is built for multiplayer, most often 4 players in a free-for-all, each starting at 40 life. It also plays well at 3 players, and one-on-one, two-player games are common and fun. The format's politics, big swings, and comeback potential shine brightest at a 4-person pod. What's a good 2-player pre-con experience? 2 fresh pre-cons head-to-head is one of the best ways to learn Commander. The decks are beautifully matched. For a satisfying duel, pick 2 decks with clear different game plans. An aggressive deck like Limit Break, Voltron, against a grindy one like Necron Dynasties or Endless Punishment makes for a dynamic swingy 2-player game. Can you mix pre-cons together? Yes, combining 2 pre-cons is a classic, cheap way to build a stronger deck, especially 2 from the same set or 2 that share a theme, 2 Eldrazi decks, 2 Counters decks. You'll end up with extra cards to cut down to 100, but it's a fun, low-cost path from I bought a deck to I built a deck. Do pre-cons come with a soul ring? Almost always. Yes, Sol Ring ships in nearly every Commander pre-con, along with staples like Arcane Signet and Swiftfoot or Lightning Greaves. Notably, Sol Ring is not on the official Game Changers list despite being powerful, so its presence doesn't raise your deck's bracket. Keep it in your deck when you upgrade. Where should I buy precons? Wizards' own product pages, TCG Player and Card Kingdom are reliable, fairly priced sources, and the latter two publish excellent free upgrade guides. Your local game store is worth a small premium because it's where you'll find people to play with. Price check across all three the day you buy, since pre-con prices move weekly.